Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and gators and grannies. It's Sunday edition of The Big Puzzle. I'm coming to you live from my kitchen in northern British Columbia. My name is Barry Prince, and this is being broadcast through the facilities of People's Internet Radio, which I'd like to thank. And also, we are a viewer-supported station, so if you can hit the donate button and throw a few dollars into the coffers, I know the people here would really appreciate it. Welcome to the show. We're going to touch on a subject today that, you know, sometimes I don't even want to believe that some of this stuff exists in my world, but it does. And we're going to talk about pedophilia here for a little bit. Some of the things that we've seen develop in the Catholic Church here in the last little while, some of the grand jury indictments and all the information that's coming out about the absolute depth and scope of pedophilia going on in the Catholic Church and how long it's been going on. We're going to have a discussion about that. I'm joined by Patty Walking Turtle. Originally, Barbara Three Crow was going to join us, but she's developed a very bad headache, and she's not going to be able to get with us. And we're also joined by Duke Willis. Duke is a Canadian online radio host and a man that I've got to know pretty good over the last little while. And I've invited him to join in the conversation and get his thoughts on this subject. Welcome to the show, guys, and thanks for joining me. And I'm going to start off with Patty. How are you doing, Patty?
Hey, Barry. I'm doing really good. It's a hard topic that we're going to be discussing today, and you know, I know a lot of people are in the same boat. We were talking about it right before the show. This is a horrendous act that is committed against the most innocent of us all, and it's difficult. It's very, very difficult for a lot of us to even get to a point to where we can accept this actually happens.
Oi, but, you just got a text message.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. But, you know, maybe we need a little levity with what we're going to be discussing because it is hard and a lot of people might not want to look. They might not want to see. But as we were discussing, we can't stop this unless we know what is going on. And I think it's a good discussion to have. So thanks for having me on today.
Yeah, and also welcome to the show, Duke Willis. Like I said, I've done quite a few shows now with Duke and I think he's a pretty good guy. Welcome to the show, Duke.
Thanks, Barry, and thanks for having me. Hi, Patty. How are you? We talked earlier today. Yeah, I agree with you, Patty. And as we were talking earlier before the show, I sort of explained to you that I like to broach this subject by pointing out the humor and the comic jokes that people have made about choir boys and the Catholic Church for so many years, so as not to offend, because let's face it, you've got how many tens of millions of Roman Catholics in the world, never mind here in Canada, who are going to have to stand up and say, wait a minute, you're telling me my church what? So, yeah, like, this is going to be a shocker.
Well, what really kind of blown, I mean, I've been studying this, I've been looking at this for years, and, you know, I don't have a great brain for retaining all the information that I've absorbed about this. You know, I first started looking at it, I had a little bit of a hard time believing it, but now I'm at a point that I know this exists, and we've got to call it out. I'm really glad to see this grand jury, and what they did in Pennsylvania, and who they called out. But to say that this isn't going to the highest levels of the Catholic Church, I think you'd have to have your head in the sand. What do you think, Patty?
Well, yeah, and I think that even those who have supported the Catholic Church for all these decades, all these years, I think they too realize that there is something here, that there is truth lurking back there. I think it's very hard to be a part of this institution, this religion, without having come across this in whatever parish you're at. The one thing that I can say about Catholics is they're devout. They like to go to church. They like to participate in their parishes. I was born and raised in Louisiana, which is known for its Catholic roots and the parishes. And I knew the people there. I knew the priests. I knew the people. And they are very active in their parishes. So you can't say I don't think that we can say that they don't know what's going on. The extent and the actual, crimes that are being committed, I think, have eluded them. They think that it may just be, oh, the choir boy, you know, da-da-da-da-da, the altar boy, da-da-da-da-da. But it's much deeper than that. It's not just pedophilia that we're talking about. This is an institutionalized system that has been, that the Catholic Church has been aware of and governed and held closure on for so many, many, many years. Mm-hmm. And they have paid off.
Patty, to put it in colloquial terms, it is the John Gotti Mafia hidden behind a cross.
Yes, yes.
Exactly.
And they put a lot of money into the hands of victims, parents, and victims to keep this sequestered so that it doesn't go mainstream. Of course, they lost that fight a while back when it started coming out. The thing is now we've got the Pope doing damage control. Now the Pope is stepping up and says he's going to pull all of these guys together, these priests, and they're going to talk about how they changed this within this Catholic Church.
They're going to talk about
sending the fox. Sending the fox to stop the fox from eating the chickens in the chicken house, man.
Yeah, they're going to talk about replacing a screen window with a black window. That's what they're going to
do. Exactly. How do we get this back under the carpet and keep it there? You know, how do we push this back into the closet and shut that door so that they can't open it? Okay. That's what's going on. Yeah.
Barry knows that I am a big supporter of this Q movement and the whole concept behind it. Not that I'm, you know, going to jump on the bandwagon and say this is the way to go. But if it is what it claims and is purporting and showing itself to be, the Vatican is not the only quote unquote royal house that we're going to see come down. I can see the British crown not existing after all of this is cleaned up, just as Vatican won't exist.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Queen and Charles, I think, were just implicated in it came out that there were several children that came up missing after they visited a orphanage. I think it was...
Yeah. And then throw into the equation the Clinton Foundation, what's been going on in Haiti, and the children, they have no idea where they've gone. I mean, Podesta.
Podesta, yes.
Yeah.
And the Epstein Island. All of these things are all coming out. Yeah.
And anyone who wants to look into the sort of games that the British royal family are playing, I won't tell you to go look into the Cambodian poppy fields. That's enough of a conspiracy theory that's been flogged to death already, and people wouldn't believe it even if you told it to them. But take a look at the corporate holdings and the corporate positions held either as members of a board, CEO, or major corporate investor in. Look at the companies that the Queen's grandsons are involved in. The future monarchs of England. Go look at what those two boys are into.
And inform us.
Well, there are a number of organizations that lead back towards Soros's find that he has out there. The names are skipping me, and I've got my computer committed right now to Skype. I don't want to open it up, and the names are skipping me, but people can go and Google. There's three different international organizations that the youngest one, who just got married, just had a baby. People are all in love with him. There's three different non-profit, a.k.a. charitable, international organizations that he's involved in, and they all do work in countries that are flagged as extreme risk of child trafficking. Like, they're there doing charity work, but yet, you know, and it's one of those, I've looked into some of them, and a lot of these organizations are kind of like the Clinton organization in Haiti. or was it Clinton or Red Cross that spent like $22 million in emergency aid and built five houses?
Yeah.
Right?
You know, the same sort of thing. They raised.
Yeah, the same thing is same sort of thing is happening with these organizations that the prince, they put up the idea and the public image that the royalty is adding credibility and bringing support. Meanwhile, the royals are funneling money into offshore governments and affecting the culture and the lifestyle of foreign countries all through the cloak of charity. Right. Mm. Like the British people don't I don't think many of them realize that if they get what they want, if they get the right to own arms, if they get rid of their corrupt government, once they start exposing the truth, it's going to expose the corruption that goes all the way up right to the throne.
Yeah, I knew this conversation was going to go in lots of different directions because right now Europe is in almost at the state of civil war. Mm-hmm. I mean, I really, you know, I watch all this information coming out and, you know, I'm always sitting back and going, well, is this, a lot of this true or is this being docked? Is this, you know, is this really happening in the amount of realm that I'm seeing, the amount of activity going on in Germany? Like I said this last week, I got to sit down with four common German people. And they live an hour and a half north of Berlin, and they have people, all kinds of their relatives and friends in the big city. And without a word of a lie, German women will not walk the streets now in Germany at night, period. Unless they're carrying a bear mace, they're all arming themselves with bear mace. Every one of them. It's the fastest selling product in Europe right now. So that kind of activity is coming to Canada here real quick. See it being played out right now in our government. But we didn't want to go in that direction today. Really want to stay on this Catholic Church and just how deep it is. And the one thing that, you know, I sit back and I said this many times that I, you know, as a person that really cares about other people, how can people do these kind of things to children? And really, we got to get into the absolute bottom of the barrel and say what it is. It's evil beyond what most of us can even begin to comprehend or understand. What do you think, Patty? Mm-hmm. I'm going to let Patty go here for a minute, and then I want you to add on that, Duke, because we really got to call it what it is.
Well, I know that Duke said that he followed Q, and I'm like you. I do pay attention to what Q is putting out because he's putting out documented facts that I can rely on, court documents, following the trail, connecting the dots. It all meshes together. It paints the picture of reality that we're in right now. So yes, I follow Q also, and I will continue to do so. Anyone who wants to know the truth, regardless of whether you support Trump or not, it doesn't matter. Q is putting out usable facts and documentations to back it up. Anyone who is a good researcher will go where the truth is and will create sources that give them that. That's what Q is to me. And this pedophile worldwide syndicate, which is what it is, it's not sequestered to just the Catholic Church or the government or whatever. This is an insidious web that goes throughout our world in every country. And it's a moneymaker. It's big money. And this is just part of it. There's satanic ritual abuse that goes on with this. There is clubs that are being created where they have these sacrifices. This is documented stuff, right? So we know this stuff is going on. And we have the Pope who has come out and said that he was lax in pursuing this pedophile within the Catholic religion. Shame on him, right? So now what he wants to do is he wants to bring this group of men, these priests, from the Catholic Church, he wants to bring them all to the table and tell them how to behave as if they didn't know how to behave before. I don't know of anyone born today that doesn't know that it's morally wrong to attack a child in any way, right?
Mm. Especially when they advocate a book that states that.
Right. So we have to look at this with clear eyes, but we have to know that something is being done. they are taking down these pedophile rings little bit by little bit, but we're not dealing with just one group of people. We're dealing with a worldwide syndicate. Can you imagine? There's 7 billion people on this planet. And of those 7 billion people, I don't know how many children are there. How many children go missing in your country per year, in your state per year, in your city per year? Think about this. That are never seen again. We have a problem here in the U.S. with immigration, illegal immigration, where they're bringing children up from Mexico into this sex trafficking.
Mm-hmm. Fatherless, motherless children.
Right. And so.
And New Mexico wasn't the only camp.
No. But we have this has been going on for a long time. These are roads that have been open for a long time. These are trade routes that this syndicate has created. And the only people that have the power to do anything about it are the people listening to this right now, myself, those on the panel with me, because we have a voice. We can come together. We are the majority. No matter where you are the majority. And we need to come together. We need to make a noise. We need to make sure that Pope Francis and his committee don't have the final say on what's accepted. The Catholic people need to stand up. They need to say, we need change now, and we need to hold the people who have harmed these children accountable to the nth degree. You know, there are things being done behind the scenes right now that people don't know, but if you look, and if you follow Q, then you know that there have been hundreds of thousands of these people who have been arrested with children, networks that have been put out of business, sex trafficking clubs. All of these things have been discontinued, but there's still so much more. We need to step up. People need to step up. Just saying.
We need to be vigilant, man. You watch it everywhere. It seems to be like it's coming out of the woodworks everywhere right now. And then you got mainstream media outlets trying to normalize the practice of pedophilia. It's just what is going to come out next, man? It's like every day it's a new surprise. Guess what? This is okay now. And, oh, yeah, we can have 84 different genders. And you can marry a tree if you'd like to. And you can have sex with your animal. Nothing wrong with that, man. Anything goes.
The Canadian Supreme Court says it's okay to have sex with animals.
Yeah, Justin Trudeau brought that into effect. Man, what a wise man we have running our country, Duke. Just what everybody wants. And sodomy, of course. That's been lowered to the age of 16 now. Just unbelievable.
Well, but Barry, come on. You've got to take that into context. They're going to reduce the age for taxable income so that 16-year-olds will pay the same tax as adults instead of being junior income. Like, it's a different pay scale for summertime 16-year-old kids, right?
Right.
So by saying that it's legal to have anal sex with a 16-year-old, it's then legal for the government to screw them up the butt by taking their tax money.
Okay.
Well, you've got to have the laws in place before they can screw you, dude. Come on. You don't expect our government to break the law, do you?
Okay, let's keep the conversation clean here, but it's so true, Duke. But anyways.
Well, I have a thing right here. There's a Democratic Senate candidate from Arizona. Her name is Kristen Sinema. She is in the limelight right now. And you can find the video on the Next News Network on YouTube. But she has come out in support. She says it's not fair that you should hold these men who are getting child prostitutes accountable, because these prostitutes look older than 12 years old.
Okay, so you can put lipstick on it, and that changes the age of the person, so everything's fine.
And also, She has been found to have taken tens of thousands of dollars from who? The founders of an alleged sex trafficking website that has been taken down by the government. So here you go. This is in your government. This is a senator. This is a woman senator from Arizona trying to say that, hey, don't be so hard on these guys for getting these 12-year-old child prostitutes, because they look older than what they are.
Mm. Well, what's the big thing they're promoting in among the LGBTQXYZ community in Toronto now? They're calling themselves, what, minor attracted persons? I think that's the new catchphrase.
That's the new slogan. I haven't heard that one yet, but that would be a good one for them to use. A little political correctness in there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I should feel grateful that some guy wants to get it on with my 4-year-old granddaughter. That should be a matter of pride for me.
It's diversity, dude. Come on. Diversity is our strength.
How about I diversify his skull from his brain?
Yeah, we all feel that way, buddy. We do. And you're not alone.
Was that unpolitically correct of me to state that?
No, it wasn't. You're a bigot. You're Islamophobic, Duke. That's it. You're a bard. You're out.
You have to use the correct term. My member of parliament, Chris Biddle, stated that I am a racist white supremacist bigot. And then I introduced him to my black girlfriend.
Wow.
Yeah, he posted that on Facebook.
You got to put that on a t-shirt, buddy, and put his name on it.
You know what it costs, dude? T-shirts are expensive with all that written on it.
It cost me about $25 to make up these ones I'm wearing around, and they have stimulated more conversations than money could ever pay for. So
I love Barry's shirts. Patty, you've seen them. His shirts are priceless. Trudeau for prison. I love it.
Well, it works, guys. You know, that is the most, believe it or not, of all the little things I've been trying to do in my community here to get people to talk and start interacting with each other, this is the cheapest little tool I've ever invested money in. Go out and put something on your shirt that people can relate to on a common ground, okay? Whether they're this religion, that race, they're all paying attention to what's going on, and most of them are aware. So you're establishing a common ground to have conversations with people. I was at the farmer's market, like I said last night, different. I had more fun yesterday than I've ever had in a long, long time, just because this t-shirt stimulated conversation after conversation after conversation. I was talking to doctors. I was talking to teachers, a wide variety of my people in my community, and really, really getting a lot of good response and thumbs up and where do we get a rope and blah, blah, blah. Some things I can't say. Oh, we should start these shows. And I mean to do this every once in a while, but it's not too late. I want to welcome the Canadian Intelligence Secret Service and the RCMP and Google and Facebook and anybody else that's listening to this conversation today. Welcome to the show. I should do that at the beginning because I'd like to welcome them in.
Yes, by all means. I'm sure the Zuckerstapo are watching us closely.
All joking aside, it's pretty sick what's going on, eh, Patty? It really, really, it's something that just absolutely drives me nuts, because I know my children, you know, could be exposed to this stuff in the near future, given the rate of acceleration of what we see going on right now with pedophilia.
But there's good news. Because we have the power to change this if we stand up for our children, if we say no more. If you know that the place that you're going to every Sunday and giving your money to is harming children, then the choice is yours. Don't go. That's a statement. That's an impact. If the people refuse to support these people who are harming children, if the people said, punish these people, and if we stood together, which we can, this is our time. This time of all times, the apocalypse is the time of revealing the truth is coming out. That's why we're here. That's why you're listening. That's why I'm talking. That's why Barry's here. Everybody's here because that's what this time is. And so this is our time, and we are the power. We are the ones who can change things. if we choose to come together to do so. They have no power over the people unless the people acquiesce, unless the people turn their back and ignore what's going on. Just saying, this is the good news. This is the good news. And more people are waking up, and the more that we talk about the hard things, the more that we discuss the ugliness that is reality behind the curtain, then the more people are going to be willing to stand up and say, I don't want my life like this, and I don't want my child's life like this. I don't want a future that this is allowed in. You know, we have that ability.
Yeah, well, take a look at what's going on in our schools right now. If that doesn't appall you, then you're really not paying attention. Programs like SOGI 123 in British Columbia here, and Kathleen Wynne's sex education program, which is going to be watered down, probably completely eliminated this year, hopefully. But these programs are being implemented all through North America in all the school systems. They're corrupting and confusing the minds of our children at an age when they cannot make decisions or comprehend or figure things out for themselves. And boy, that just drives me nuts. You couple that with what everything else is going on. We talked about Haiti there for a few minutes, and I was looking at some of the numbers of children that they have no idea where they went. You look at the numbers of missing children now in the States, the United States of America. You can Google that on the internet. Thousands of children are going missing, just disappearing and never to be seen again. Well, where are all these children going? You didn't hear, even though we have the internet today and we have a lot better ways of communicating with each other and finding out this kind of stuff. I don't remember ever hearing this kind of stuff when I was a child growing up. Even though you can say in the same mouthful back then, it was completely controlled by media. There was no internet. So everything that we heard was through mainstream, and perhaps it was going on at this scale. But boy, now we're aware of it. We have to stand up against this, man. Children are suffering every day, and that tears me apart. What do you think, Duke?
Barry, you just touched on the very thing that I've wanted to point out since Patty started talking. The cabal, the powers that be, the fact that we know there is evil at work and networking within our world. That side of the coin has forgotten that the information age has empowered the people. Not only are they using the information age to manipulate a large portion of the population, but that very same mechanism that they're using is being used against them. Because as you just said, what we didn't hear about when you and I were kids back in the 60s and 70s, it was still there, dude. But it's the powers that be who have brought us the internet, the information age, and made themselves feel so grandiose and important by giving us this gift. The gift is what is going to enable us to bring them down. The gift is exposing them for what they are.
Put a little light on them, they start scurrying. What do you think, Patty?
Let me read something to you from Zero Hedge. This is, has to do with Haiti. Says that Silsby was arrested at the Haitian border attempting to smuggle 33 children out of Haiti without documentation. Her sentence and charges were reduced after an intervention by Bill Clinton. In the aftermath of Silsby's arrest, her originally retained lawyer, George Puello, was arrested in connection with an international smuggling ring accused of trafficking women and minors from Central America and Haiti. The revelation of this news in November was either ignored by the Western media or attacked by Clinton-controlled publications. Laura Silsby is the former director of the New Life Children's Refuge. Emails from her organization can be found in WikiLeaks' Hillary Clinton email archive discussing the NGO before her arrest. Silsby's organization also appears in Clinton's emails soliciting donations for their ministries. The refuge was founded by Silsby and Carissa Coulter, both attendees at the Central Valley Baptist Church in Meridian, Idaho. Silsby was reported to have a history of bad debts and unpaid wages. So, this is one of the Clintons. This is how they do business. With when these people are caught, the legal team is provided for them, and their costs are paid. It's okay. It goes under the curtain usually. Nobody sees it. Nobody hears about it. It goes away. Now it's not going away because we're talking about it, because we've got the information, like Duke was saying, you know, and it's because we decided to step out of our little box and we started to ask questions that made this possible. And that's what we do best, you know. We don't like to be in the dark. You know, and when it gets too hot
for handle. We're humans, not mushrooms.
Right. And when it gets too hot for handle, you know, we might step back for a bit. But once you've seen the truth, you have to turn back into it. You can't ignore it once you've seen. And that's what we need to make sure, is that the people, even though they don't want to hear it, we still have to put it out there. Because sooner or later, they're going to turn back around. Sooner or later, it's going to make its way through that block that they have, and they will turn around and face it. And that's what we've got to do. We can allow this to go on. We can hope that somebody else is going to take care of this for us. But as we see, this is a Baptist church in Idaho. It's a Baptist church in Idaho that was sponsoring this, along with the Sylvie woman and the Clintons. You have a Baptist church in your neighborhood, I bet. Do we know about that Baptist church? You know, is it politically incorrect to ask questions when confronted with facts like this about religions, about what is possible? Are you afraid to make a wave because you might in some way insult the pastor of a church? Well, the way I look at it is, if a pastor becomes insulted because I want to find out if they're legit, then I have reason to worry.
Yes.
Very well said. Very well said.
And if someone fears the truth, you have reason to fear them.
Mm-hmm. You know, Steve was making a point there in chat that, you know, this is just not confined to these people, that the UN, and I was aware of this, DynCorp and other corporations, the government dealings, have been caught multiple times running children. And if you start doing some research into it, like I said, I can't comprehend all the information, but I've looked at it all. And that was a very good point, Steve, because this is so deep that most of us really, really have a hard time wrapping our minds around it. I can't. You know, I look at all the tentacles and all these people that are involved, and they're all in it for the same reason. It really just, it's hard for me to comprehend it,
If you look at those tentacles and think of them as the roots of a tree that has been growing and existing and expanding for hundreds of years, that's what we're dealing with here. Like this isn't something that just suddenly developed in the last 30 or 40 years. This has been going on within groups like the Catholic Church and the British Royal Family, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's been going on for more years than we've been keeping written records.
Right. But now we know about it. Now we know about it. It's our duty to do something about it.
It says here in this article that the Harvard Human Rights Journal stated that one of Bill Clinton's first acts as a special envoy for the United Nations in Haiti was to put out the fire of child abduction scandal involving American citizens. He intervened to strike a deal with the Haitian government, securing the release of all co-conspirators except for Silsby.
Wow. Talk about dirt on top of dirt.
Do you know how much Silsby got in a court case?
No.
Sentence? Six months.
6 months.
Which means he would do 2 months, and 2 months he would probably stretch out over weekends in a hotel kind of facility.
Yeah, yeah. And he knows
No, they ultimately sought a 6-month sentence in Silsby's case, reducing charges for conspiracy and child abduction to mere arranging irregular travel.
Sounds like Justin Trudeau.
I was just thinking they took a page out of Trudeau's book.
Is that crazy or what?
But this is just the tip of the iceberg, Patty. It's just what we know about. There's so much of this that
to me, the prosecutor, as well as Silsby, as well as her attorney, as well as the judge, need to be held on collusion in harming a child.
But you know, and I know it'll just be brushed under the rug, and the mainstream will never touch it, and nobody will ever hear about it again. It'll be quashed until they're put in their place, and they have to explain their actions. Now, that's our duty now, is to get enough people informed that we get the public enraged. Because when I hear about this stuff, and I think, you know, I keep saying to myself every day, Patty and Duke, that if the public really could be informed about what's going on, like real hardcore facts, if we could take over CNN and ABC and MSNBC and CBC for a couple of days and put out real hardcore information to the public, you would see riots in the street. That might sound extreme, but the public is still in large part, really not informed about the depth of evil that's going on.
That's where I have a problem with this, because I know some people say we need to let them in gently. You know, I understand that, but we don't have that time.
No, we don't.
You got to get in people, you know, this might sound corny, but you got to get in people's face, but with love in your heart, okay?
I'll give you the definition of the way we need to do this gently. Instead of using a fist, open your hand and slap them real hard. That's the gentle that needs to be done. Tapping them on the shoulder, sitting down and buying them a cup of Timmies, they ain't going to listen to you. Walk up, slap them in the face and say, wake up or get killed. Because that's what's coming. Paul Revere didn't stand around and argue. He didn't. If people woke up, they woke up. If they didn't, he rode on because there was somebody else down the road that was ready to wake up.
Here's the secret that the masses, the people of the world need to realize, is that on the day that we turn away and walk away from whatever system you're in, that day you change the world. That day the world changes. We are the system. We make it go. If we don't work in the system, if we turn our back on the system, it doesn't work. That's the power. That's the true power that we have. It is the greatest power, and it's why they're doing what they're doing right now, because they know that if we ever unify, not under any other banner, we don't have to agree on topics of discussion, philosophy, religion. We don't have to agree on anything. We have to just simply agree that we are all suffering because of the systems that have been set up, and those systems have to go. And we built those systems. We man those systems. We make them go. So we have the key. We have the cure. You know, people tell me, well, you're asking for a great, great sacrifice. What have you been doing? Is this worth staying here in this? Is it worth it to you to keep suffering, to watch people suffer? Or can we change this? You know,
I think Oliver Wendell Holmes said exactly what we're going to experience and witness with a lot of people who have just started waking up. Oliver Wendell Holmes said, a man's mind stretched by new ideas can never go back to its original dimensions. And as people continue to awaken, as people who have devoted their life to the Roman Catholic Church come to the realization that what they've believed in has been partially a lie, as people who are committed to and have been historically through their family committed to the British crown, and they hold the queen as being next to God, they're going to realize that it's been a lie. As their worlds start to fall apart, they may not like the feeling of having their minds stretched, but once stretched, their minds will never go back.
Interesting thought. What do you think, Patty?
Well, I think we all know what I think. You know, and we're talking about one of the worst of the worst of the worst, a humanity that allows harm to come upon the children unabated. a humanity that allows the suffering of individuals because of class, race, political stance. This is not the humanity that I want to belong to. The humanity that I want to belong to is a humanity that works toward the goals of benefit for each and every living thing. It's a humanity that understands that there is only one planet that we have to survive, that we have to live upon, and that we are the ones who stand to do the greatest harm or the greatest good. You know, the truth is in you. It's in me. We don't need everything you've got. You got this little toolbox inside you, and it's got courage. It's got commitment. It's got unity. It's got love and compassion. Those are the main tools in there. And it's always with you. You never lose it. It never goes away. It's always there. All you got to do is and start using it, you know?
Mm. Well said, Patty. You know, we are kind of in a situation now that some days it just absolutely boggles me. It brings me to tears when I think of what suffering children are going through. And, you know, we do have the power to, it has to. If you're a human being and you realize that these are just absolutely precious little beings that are just being tormented and abused in ways that, like I said, I have a hard time wrapping my mind around it. I really do. But we know
this is going on. Put yourself in the shoes of the parents who sit at home every night wondering where their kid is.
Yeah, yes. You know, and yes. The heart, it's just all this heartache in our society that we're experiencing can all be brought to an end. It can. I believe the power of the people still is an incredible power if we can get the people motivated to stand up and actually get involved in stopping this. And I see society getting to that position now, Patty. I mean, especially even in my little community, and I reiterate in that a lot because, you know, years ago, I would be laughed at for even talking about things that were nefarious going on inside of governments. And now people are embracing it. So people are waking up and they're looking for guidance. They're looking for direction is the word I want to use, because a lot of times I'll talk to people and I'll get this kickback that, what can we do? You know, we can't do anything about this. There's nothing we can do about it. And boy, that opens up another avenue to explain to them the power you have as an individual, just learning how to manifest it. So we are in an incredible time right now, Patty. We are. We're kind of in a pinnacle right now, the way I see it.
And you talk about the fact that we have individual power. We are the only power besides the Creator. We are the only power. They can give us the blueprint, and they can say, this is what we need to have done, and they can put it in a pretty package with a beautiful bow on it, and we look at it and we say, oh yeah, I want that. I want that. It looks really good. But we never open up that lid and look inside to see what's actually there. And when we find out, we've already bought the package, right? Mm-hmm. We've already accepted. So we are the ones that make it go. They have no power except for our power. They use us. They use us to get where they want us to go. And it's much like, I talk about it all the time, it's much like when you have a herd of cattle. You know, you got some unruly ones that just won't pay attention. They don't want to go along with the flock. But you got to get this flock into the next pasture. So you get the ones that will go in there. You go ahead and you get them in. You bring out some sweet oats and stuff, and you lay it on the ground. You call them in, and they say, oh, yeah, I want some of that. And they run on in there, right? Right. But they're going to come after you other guys, and the guys in the pen that are eating the sweet oats, they done ate their oats, they ain't got any more. They're looking at the stock trucks pulling up, and it's suddenly gone on them, and they see those other guys out there running in the field. You know, they're free, they're running, they're not going in. Sooner or later, that herd's going to figure out, hey, we came in that gate over there, let's just go back out through it, you know? This is where we're at right now. We got to figure out that gate is just a gate, and the herd can go through it without a problem. It's just a gate, you know?
Great assimilation. Great thought, Patty. What do you think, Duke? What's the answer?
Turn around, walk the other way. Make the sacrifice now. We have enough technology. The people have developed their own technology. They have developed their own ways of living off-grid, on-grid, however you want to do it. We have the means to do it. we have all the knowledge. Knowledge is in our minds, and we don't lose it when we step away. We just need to step away together. That's the answer. If we can step away together, we got this. We got it made. We got it made. I'm serious. It's the only way.
Well, Barry, you know me. I'm a grassroots, bottom line, peel all the issues away and see what's underneath, because that's the truth. Mm-hmm. And when we do that in this global environment that we're in right now, two things become readily apparent. Parts of the world that have never experienced firsthand violence in the streets, i.e. North America has never experienced the invasion of a foreign army the way France and Belgium did. Mm-hmm. Okay? That's what I'm talking about. That difference is going to be a major shock to the society. What we're seeing unfolding in so many other aspects are going to shock our society. No matter how we slice things, the world we know today will not remain when the dust settles.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be their way or our way.
And in saying that, we need, as patriots, as people who can look forward, we need to stop fighting about how we're going to fight this fight and start planning on how we're going to rebuild what's left when the fight is over.
Yes.
Mm.
Seriously, Canadians, I've talked to them. Canadians are ready to discuss the concept of a republic style of government,
mm-hmm.
not a democracy.
Yeah, I've heard that murmur lots of
How
places amongst lots of people.
How do you keep a government?
That's the million-dollar question, Patty. And
that, my dear, runs back to Benjamin Franklin, who said, "We gave you a republic if you can keep it."
That's right. The thing, is when you have systems set up, governments have one purpose only, and that is to control the populace. That's the reason for having government. Anytime you have a government that is in control, it will seek control. That's what it does. That's who it is. And anytime you have a system that seeks control, you will have people infiltrate that system who want to control the system. This
Bingo.
Is why they never, ever pan out the way they're supposed to. Whether any socialism, communism, all of these things have points in them that make them look real appealing. Every single one of them have something in them that is appealing to the people. And it's okay, you know, that little part of it. But it grows. It grows and it changes. And when it changes, the people lose voice. They become what we are now, threatened by their own governments.
But that's where the big factor that everyone seems to forget, and you have to excuse me here because I'm going to get a little bit religious, so to speak. Not that I go to church. I am not a church-going religious man, but I'm not ignorant of religion. I'm also not ignorant of some pretty basic concepts of how life revolves in the cycle of life. Enough of that. It is said that evil and good exist in all men.
Mm-hmm.
Men and women, if we need to be politically non-sexist, okay? Each of us possess the ability to recognize, promote, or share good or evil. That's never going to go away. No matter what kind of government we elect, no matter what kind of police force or military or religion you decide to follow, that simple fact, good and evil both exist in every human being and in the world in general. You got to accept that and be prepared to deal with it. That's how you keep things from going bad in the future, Patty.
Do you know your legislator? Do you know your city council member? Do you know your governor? Do you know your congressman?
Do you know what they're all about?
You know, this is the thing, is that I don't know the people who are in office. Yeah. They didn't come talk to me. I've never been to their house. I pay for them to be. This is the thing, is that we cannot expect someone else to take our own responsibility and live our lives for us the way we want it done. They're going to live our lives for them the way they want it done. Absolutely. This is just human nature. And yes, there's good and bad in each and every individual. But the ones who seek to be on the darker side are the ones who are going to rise to these positions, because it serves that type of mindset. Those mm-hmm. of us who just want to be peaceful and live in peace, abundance, and health, we don't want to aspire to that. We want to live our lives and enjoy it. So you're always going to have that separation. One is going to rise to that position, and the other is going to stay down below. That doesn't mean that we have to accept these systems. There are better systems, and we have something that we can do if we don't agree. We can create our own systems, and we can still live irrespective of one system coming in and taking over our own.
Patty, I'm going to have to cut you off because we're down to the last 4 minutes, and I could go for another hour with you guys, but I want to give Duke a minute here to share his links with people so they can find him, and you too, Patty, where they can find you, and then I'm going to have to step out, and I have a doctor coming up for the next hour. But I didn't mean to cut you off, Patty, because I know
that's
you
okay.
get going. You're like the Duracell bunny.
Yes, I can't shut you up.
We could go again. We'll do this again real soon. But, yeah, Duke, could you share it real quick, and then Patty, and then I'll have to shut up the first hour of the show here.
Well, my main platform is on Facebook. People can find me on Facebook. Just look for Duke Willis. I do a live video show every Saturday and Sunday night at 9 p.m. Ontario time, and Barry often joins me. I have many guests come on. Unlike many of the shows you see online, video shows, this isn't me sitting in front of my camera just mouthing off my opinion. I actually have a platform that allows me to bring in live video guests. And several nights I've now stepped away and let my guests run the show. My platform isn't about me. It's about Canadians. It's about Canada. And it's about everyone getting the voice and the word out there. Saturdays and Sundays, 9 o'clock on Facebook, my profile.
Thanks, Duke. Always nice talking to you. And I know it's been a long time since we talked, and we'll talk again soon.
Patty, I hope to see you on my Facebook in a couple of hours, Barry.
Patty, can you share where people can find you?
People for People Radio at peopleforpeopleradio.ning.com or peopleforpeople.ning.com. Mondays, Turtle and Crow Show. 3 p.m. Central Standard, 9 p.m. UK.
Thanks, Patty. And always, as always, I love having you on and love listening to you talk, and you inspire me. So thanks for joining me.
Well, have a good evening, guys. Bye.
Okay, stay, please stay tuned, folks. The next hour, I got Dr. David Allen joining me. He's been researching the endocannabinoid sibling system in the human body for about 16 or 17 years of his life, and we're going to share some pretty good information with you. Stay tuned. I'll be back in 5 minutes or so. Well, welcome back, folks, to the second hour of The Big Puzzle. Want to thank Duke Willis and Patty for joining me again the first hour. Enjoyed that conversation, but we're going to shift gears here a little bit and talk about my favorite subject. And of course, that is medical cannabis and the world of cannabis. And in the last 4 or 5 years since I've been doing radio, I was introduced to Dr. Allen. I think it was almost 5 years ago when I did my first show with him. And over the last 5 years, I think I've done 4 or 5 shows with the doctor. I want to thank him for taking time today and joining me again. It's always a pleasure to have you on my show, doctor. How are you doing today?
Thank you. Thank you, Barry. I appreciate it. It's a really nice day in Sacramento today.
Yeah, I heard. I was talking to somebody else down in California today, and they said it was all clear and blue skies, so enjoy it.
Yeah. Beautiful temperatures. It's great.
I'd like you to start off, maybe, Doc, because a lot of people here listening maybe have never heard you before. Maybe you can give people a little bit of a brief history on yourself and why you got into cannabis medicine.
Okay. I'm a retired heart surgeon, and I used to have to take people to surgery and operate on their hearts. And to do that, you have to cross, put them on bypass, and then you cross clamp the aorta, and then you stop the heart with topical ice and drugs. And you do the operation while the heart's not moving. When you're finished with the operation, you open up the clamp, and the body's blood goes back into the heart, and it reperfuses the heart. And that's where the danger comes in when you operate. It's called reperfusion injury. So whenever you had ischemia to part of an organ, like the heart or anything else, the brain, whenever you have a lack of blood flow, which is called ischemia, then you restore the blood flow. That's when actually the danger occurs. So, and it's called, the danger is called reperfusion injury. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, I'm getting some talk. I don't know. I'm getting some crazy stuff on my mic. So does this make sense what I'm talking about? So it's called reperfusion injury, and that's what damages the heart or brain after an event of low blood flow or ischemia.
Yeah, we are getting a little bit of feedback here, Doc. I don't know where that's coming from.
I don't either. It's like an echo or something.
You know where that's coming from, Steve?
No, it's not coming on my end. You're okay here.
Oh. Well, that's kind of strange. Well, go ahead, Doc. Maybe it'll go away. Maybe they don't want you to talk.
All right. It could be. So, at any rate, reperfusion injury is the mechanism that causes injury whenever you had injury to your heart or the brain when you restore the blood flow. And there was a U.S. patent, cannabinoids as antioxidants and neuroprotectants. Patent number 6,630,507. And that patent proved that cannabinoids decrease reperfusion injury. And so that came out in 2003. So as a heart surgeon, I was extremely interested that a cannabis compound could actually save heart muscle or brain tissue by using this U.S. patent that proves that it decreases the size of a stroke by 50%. So I was amazed that this patent that came out in 2003, it was owned by the government, U.S. government patent, and it proves that cannabis decreases the size of a stroke, but yet they were preventing anybody from doing a study using cannabis to prove in clinical trials whether this was actually the case, because the patent only proved it by animal studies.
Right.
And since, so the truth is, the government's repression of this science, that anybody that's had a stroke or heart attack since 2003, part of their disability or death can be blamed on the government preventing this essential medical study to be performed. And so right now we should be, but are not, doing a study to see if, in fact, cannabis decreases the size of either stroke or heart attack caused from reperfusion injury. And so this patent could easily be studied, but the government prevents the study. And so as a heart surgeon, I would like to have cannabidiol in a injectable solution, it's an oil, so you have to make it water soluble so you can inject it in the vein. You can't inject oil into the veins.
Right.
And so they're going to make compounds of the cannabidiol or the cannabinoid products, cannabidiol and other cannabinoids. They'll make them into water-soluble compounds like esters. And there's actually a government patent on how to make THC ester, which is like really super strong as well. So if I had THC or CBD in a injectable form as a heart surgeon, I would give it to all my patients before I came off bypass, protect their heart from reperfusion injury, and lower my mortality. mortality, morbidity even better. So, that's why I got into the study of cannabis, because of that U.S. patent.
Right. As a heart surgeon, your rate was pretty high, wasn't it, for actual success in your surgeries?
Yeah. We used to take people that were dying in the cath lab that the cardiologist couldn't save. They would be trying to put a stent in an artery, and they couldn't get the wire to cross the artery. And the patient was going to either have a heart attack or die on the table. They would call me. I would rush to the hospital and evaluate them on an emergency basis, review whatever chart they had. Most of the time, the patients were under sterile drapes, and you couldn't even examine the patient. And I would have to look at films produced by the cardiac cath lab to find out if I could actually do something to save these people. And then I would rush them to surgery, open their chest, take vein from their leg, and put them on emergency bypass, and do coronary bypass, 3 to 7 vessel bypass on people trying to die. And I had a 1.4% operative mortality. So 1.4% operative mortality doing that kind of work.
Well, I got to thank you for the lives you saved, Doc. That's all I can say. And it takes a special kind of person. I think about that, what you do and what you've done in your life. And me, at the sight of blood makes me want to pass out. So I wouldn't make a very good heart surgeon. But that wasn't my calling in life. But one of the things I wanted to talk to you about right now, Doc, is, you know, in Canada here, they're going to legalize cannabis on the 17th of October. And I'll tell you, my friend, it is the worst thing that's ever going to happen to it in Canada. Because if people really study what's going on behind the scenes and the new laws that are coming in under this new law, it is absolutely beyond barbaric, sir. I'm going to give you a couple examples and I want to hear what you think about this, but this is where we're going with cannabis in Canada, is that now when this new law becomes law, that if you were to give your 14-year-old daughter one cannabis joint, you are going to go to jail for 15 years. If you are stopped, that's what's coming down the pipes, Doc. That's just one example, okay? That's just one example.
Okay, this war is not over. This,
just starting.
It seems like the war is kind of ending, but it's not. It's morphing into something completely different. And it's never been about the plant. It's always been about filling jail cells and producing work for the justice system.
Of course.
Which doesn't have anything to do with justice. And so this drug war is changing, and so in California, here's how it's kind of changing. Since cannabis is kind of legal, people are growing it in their backyards and stuff, and what they do now, since if they arrest you, or if they try to arrest you, it's just a plant that can't arrest you, it's legal. And what they do is they send in code enforcement, and code enforcement comes to your property, makes can come in and investigate without a warrant. They can make claims, and if you don't abate and take care of the plants before they come in a certain date, they can charge you $10,000 a day or something like that against your property value. So eventually they can steal your property for baseless charges of cannabis. And so this will not only affect people that grow cannabis, this will affect people that don't grow cannabis too, because there's going to be a bunch of false accusations. And since these people are greedy and they're holding court in code enforcement buildings, they hire a lawyer to be the lawyer is the guy that reviews, he's the judge that reviews the case. They have code enforcement officers come in and plead the case to this hired lawyer. You get to talk to them, and if they side against you, they hire this guy as the hearing officer. He's the hearing officer.
Wow.
So, at any rate,
go ahead, Steve. Do you want to say something?
No, I didn't.
So at any rate,
okay.
It's not the police anymore. It's the code enforcement. So what? Predictably, I predict that the drug task force people that previously funded all of their stuff on marijuana, since it's legal now, I suspect there will be a whole lot less drug enforcement people and more a buildup of code enforcement people.
Hmm. Well, it's going to shock the Canadian people because a lot of people up here really haven't looked at the new laws at all, Doc, but some of them are just right off the wall. It's beyond anything. I mean, the sentences have gone up three or four times from what they were from the existing laws under this new liberal government plan. You're going to see Canadian prisons filling up, and there is going to be
that
a major.
True.
Well, it's exactly what it's designed to do
now, too, right?
Yeah, there is actually now some in Manitoba, and there's a couple in New Brunswick, I heard, but mostly it's controlled by the federal government. And of course, you know, and I know you made a very, very true statement there about the whole justice system is corrupt to the core. And then when you step into a court of law, your fate is already decided before you open your mouth. I mean, the people that are benefiting off this are the doctor, the lawyers, the judges, the police that are getting their police or their back pockets stuffed, and the jail system. Right. And that's the only people that are benefiting. And these new laws, Doc, it's going to be the worst thing that ever happened. And of course, this whole thing has been controlled by one family in Canada through the Liberal government lobbying system. And I'm watching it being set up, and it's not going to be good for Canada at all. But then anything the Liberal government touches, Doc, turns to poop. Period.
Well, they will do this, but this will change too, because you know what will happen is they'll pick the low hanging fruit, the people that can't defend themselves, and eventually they'll attack somebody that can defend themselves, and then these laws, because the truth is this: cannabis is a nutraceutical and metabolic requirement. What that means is it's something that should be in all of our diets. It should be in the animal diets that we eat off of and in our pets. This is it's like a super vitamin that doesn't hurt you. And all of these stupid laws about jailing you if you give your, so if your daughter had epilepsy and you gave her some cannabis oil to stop her epilepsy when nothing the doctor could give her would cure it. And the only thing that would cure the epilepsy was the oil that you would be given to your daughter that you see having fits. If that's against the law, then we live in a really sick society, and there's going to be a time when these people have to atone for saying lies about cannabis because they're hurting people in their own family by repressing this science.
Absolutely. You know, I did study the effects of cannabis when it's fed to animals. I read reports and at one time farmers were feeding their animals cannabis, and the results were animals that were just absolutely totally beneficial to the human body as opposed to what we eat now. That alone would be monumental in changing the health of our society, which now we, of course, are the sickest people in the world.
Barry, do you know there's a U.S. patent on feeding marijuana to cows and extracting the cannabinoids in their milk?
I didn't know that. Yes. But that would be a step forward, would it not? A major step forward?
Well,
if this was brought to the public's attention, the effects of feeding animals cannabis?
Well, the truth is, when your mother feeds the child, you have your own endocannabinoids that are in breast milk. When the child takes the breast milk, it has these cannabinoids in it, which makes the child even more hungry and suckle better. And so, actually, this is a mechanism to help the infant to feed and survive.
Right. It triggers that response in his mind, his brain. You know, I kind of sat one day and tried to – I went to a video about the signaling system in the body, and You know, it's way beyond my realm of understanding, Doc. You know, and you've said it many times. You really don't have to understand it. You just got to know that it works. And it's pretty fascinating. It's a shame that you know, it is. It, and you've touched on this subject many times, the fact that it's not really being pushed in our medical schools. I'll tell you something, Doc. Let me share one thing with you, and I want you to talk. I got to share this one thought with you, okay, real quick, Doc. This has got to come out right now. I was talking to a 28-year-old doctor. And I sat down and had about a 25-minute conversation with this girl just out of medical school. And we really sat and had a heart-to-heart about cannabis. She is starting to become fully aware of it. And we really had a good conversation about the fact that she's in the medical profession, that they're mandated to follow certain procedures to follow just about every disorder in the human body. We know how it's all set up to benefit Big Pharma. We know all that. But she's kind of like, you can see the torn between her, because she's starting to look at this now. And as a doctor, she's going, you know, this stuff is beneficial in so many ways. So it was cool having a conversation. I'll let you go ahead, Doc, but that was a conversation I had this week. Go ahead.
Sure. Do you remember what the name of my study was?
I've looked at 3 or 4 of them, sir, so refresh my memory.
All right. Well, we called 157 medical schools in the United States of America, and we asked the directors of the curriculum to the medical students if they had a department of endocannabinoid science, if they had a director, or if they had organized courses teaching the medical students of this newfound communication system, and or if they even mentioned it in any ancillary courses like pathophysiology, neuroanatomy, or pharmacology. And the answer was only 13% even mention it, and nobody has organized courses. And this new science is all about chemical receptors that are on every cell that you have. They're little proteins. Some they transverse the cell membrane. They go in through the cell membrane. Some of the protein is on the inside. Some of the protein is on the outside. And the protein on the outside folds on itself depending on the charges in the protein and forms like a little antenna. And so people are familiar with insulin receptors, these little protein receptors that are on your cell wall. When the insulin binds onto the insulin receptors, then it allows glucose to go into the cell. And so there's all kinds of these little antenna that are tuned to different chemical messages. So some are tuned to estrogens, some are tuned to opiates, and a bunch of other things. But there's more chemical receptors for the cannabinoids than all of the other ones combined. So there's something special about the cannabinoid receptors, and we really haven't discovered their exact function, although it's really advanced now. I personally believe that CB1 receptors control glucose metabolism, and CB2 receptors control fatty metabolism. And by changing which one of the substances your cell burns, you change how much energy you produce and how much exhaust you produce. And the significance of that is this. Cells that reproduce fast have to burn a lot of energy real fast, and they produce a lot of exhaust real fast, oxygen-free radicals. And some tissue can't handle all that oxygen-free radical, so every tissue is not equal in the body. So cartilage doesn't burn the same energy as bone, and that doesn't burn the same energy as muscle or brain tissue. And so a lot of these oxygen-free radicals can damage tissues, and so you have to regulate that. And so it also regulates cell division for cancers. So any cancer that divides rapidly has to rely on glucose metabolism. And if you can control glucose metabolism by controlling CB1 receptors, then you can control cancer replication.
Wow. I wish I had a doctor sitting in on this conversation right now.
Because I am a doctor.
I know. I mean, another doctor, because, you know, like I said before, my brain is very limited when I comprehend this kind of stuff, but I have a basic understanding how it works. I've looked into nutraceuticals over the year and how that supports the body and how cell-to-cell communication is the most important part of the body. And glucose or your saccharides have a big part to play in that. My understanding is there's approximately 238 different saccharides in the world today, but only 7 of those 238 actually support cell-to-cell communication in the human body.
Right.
You can ingest those saccharides. You really open up paths of communication in the body. I believe the body communicates properly, and the system's working properly. The body can pretty well tackle anything that comes into it. But our bodies are pretty sick in these days. It's unbelievable. It's the diminishing of the human immune system, you know. Many mitigating factors. I mean, I did one look at a study on the human immune system based on a man from 1968 compared to a man from 2016. And they're saying that the depletion in the immune system is somewhere between 30 and 38% on the average between a man in those two time frames. So, you know, you combine that with what else is going on. And then you know, we look at, I mean, I'm not a doctor, but I do have a basic understanding of how the immune system works in the body, that your immune system, its functioning, if it's banging on all 8 cylinders and it's functioning the way it's supposed to function, your body has the ability to fight off just about anything that invades it. But our bodies are being bombarded with chemicals. We're being sprayed like rats. We're eating food that's poison. I've done lots of looking into genetically modified foods and the effect on the human body, and it just blows my mind. And then we wonder why society's walking around like a bunch of zombies. What are your thoughts on genetically modified food, doctor? Because I know you've looked into that a bit.
Well,
and the effect on the body.
It's crazy to think that there's laws against them notifying you whether the food that you eat is GMO or not. There's actively laws that prevent you from knowing this information.
I know.
Now, that's, you know, the FDA was founded on, they want to know what is in everything. So you're not getting stuff that's contaminated with stuff. And so that's why they have all these FDA labels of what's in the food that you buy. But they have laws against them letting you know whether there's GMO modified organic stuff in it, which is the opposite of their previous whole basis of the FDA. It was knowledge of what you're eating, and now they don't want you to know what you're eating. No, mm-hmm. It doesn't make sense.
Talking about hypocrisy, but we see that in many, many government agencies. I mean, we can look at the CDC. We see the same kind of crap going on. We see it in any government agencies that got anything to do with our health. But people are becoming aware of it. And you're right, Doc. I mean, these companies should be mandated to state that their products are GMO. But you can go on the internet, Doc, and get a list of products on the market today. And I take this list with me when I go shopping for groceries. I carry the list of all products that contain GMOs on the market today. And that's available on the internet. It's really simple, guys. You might have to change your diet a little bit, but I'm functioning quite well, and I'm trying to avoid them as much as I possibly can. Yeah. So there's a simple step. That's hard to do, though. You know, dog in the same mouthful, that's really hard to do in a big city. You know, because you're really kind of confined to buying at the stores that are available to you, and most of them are about 90% GMO now, I believe, would be a correct statement.
I'm sure.
Yeah, so
it's surprising when you find non-GMO stuff, really.
Can we talk about another subject just for a few minutes? I want to get your thoughts on it. Doc, what are your feelings on vaccines? Full spectrum. I'd like to get your feelings on that.
All right, well,
because it's a very controversial subject.
All right, here's my opinion about it. The lawyers are responsible for all the ills in the world. And so here's what a vaccine is. A vaccine is an antibody that stimulates an antibody response that kills a virus or a bacteria. So a vaccine is nothing more than a bunch of protein. So you can think of it as the egg white. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so they make a bunch of this protein vaccine, and now they got to put it in bottles, and they got to make sure that the bottles aren't contaminated with bacteria. So what do they got to do? They could cook it and sterilize it, but that would be just like cooking your egg. And then it wouldn't be a functional vaccine. So that prevents them from heat sterilizing the vaccine. Okay. So how do you sterilize something that you can't heat? Well, then you rely on chemicals. And so they add things in it, all kinds of crazy stuff, aluminum.
Formaldehyde, and this and that. Mercury.
Mercury.
Thermosol, it's called now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have all of this stuff there to sterilize this protein, so they can inject, so they can keep it on a shelf for a certain period of time and then inject it safely without getting a abscess from a bacterial infection. So the lawyers make sure, now they could probably make vaccines that have a short shelf life that you could make and inject safely, but the fact that you have a long shelf life to make it profitable, that means they have to do shit to it that makes it not safe.
Mm-hmm.
But that's exactly. not the problem, we don't care we're not going to do the studies to prove that the thermosol is safe. We're just going to give it out and see what happens.
Yeah, any mercury in the body cannot be good for the body, Doc.
And we've had no complaints so far. that's how they work.
Yeah, but we won't tell you that we have this thing called the Vaccine Injury Compensation Board, and it's paid out $6 billion in settlements since 2007, I believe. And I just had Peaceful post something here in chat, and I wasn't aware of this. I'm going to actually look into it myself to make sure it's true. But apparently Japan is very, very anti-vaccine. They have the lowest child death rate in the world and the highest life expectancy. Yeah. So one has to ask themselves, where's the correlation? You know, myself, Doc, I'm not an expert. I never professed to be an expert on anything, but I've looked into vaccines for many, many, many years now. And I've taken the inserts out of vaccines, and I've gone home and I've cross-referenced those ingredients on my computer. And then I look at the possible effects of those ingredients on the human body. And if people do that, Doc, I just can't see them rationalizing injecting this into child's, especially children's body, especially a child that's before the age of 18 months, because I believe that's when the blood barrier actually is full formation in the brain. So prior to 18 months, and correct me if I'm wrong on this statement, Doc, but I've looked into this many times, that prior to 18 months, any kind of chemical that enters a child's body will go directly into the brain. Is that a correct statement, sir?
They have a more permeable blood-brain barrier. That's true.
Does it fully form?
That's possibly true with your statement.
Yeah, my understanding is, and I have talked to another doctor about that, and he was quite adamant about the fact that it doesn't fully form till 18 months of age. So anything before 18 months is very, very dangerous to a child's brain, especially in the process of the brain forming and all the other things that go on. Like I said, I'm not an expert, Doc, but I've seen so many results of people being injured by vaccines. For me, I kind of did a study one night on the increase in vaccines in society. I correlated that with the rise in childhood disorders. And I spent a couple hours, that's one of the things I've kind of looked into really, really hard is the correlation between the rise in childhood diseases and the rise in vaccine programs. And the correlation is almost like the two scales are identical, Doc. So, to me, it would make sense to say that there is a correlation. Go ahead.
Your dog wants to say something.
Yeah, I know. I just had somebody pull in the driveway here. I actually got a gentleman fixing a couple U-joints in my truck right now, but he won't come in for 20 minutes because I told him I'm on the air till 3. So it's just my dog's reacting to something coming in the yard. Go ahead, Doc.
So, Barry, had you ever heard that analysis about the vaccines regarding that a vaccine is actually a protein?
Yeah, I understand.
You had to heat sterilize it.
I understand that.
It's sterile.
Yeah, I understand that.
That's not widely known, though. A lot of people don't understand that. They don't understand why are these chemicals in that. And that's the reason.
Well, Doc, anybody that looks at the flu shot, for example, up at the North Coast here last year, and these stats are right on their websites, they cannot deny it, that the flu shot that people were getting here last year had an efficiency rate of approximately 12% effective in the population. So here you got all these people running in to stick the flu shot in their arm, and yet only 12% of them are actually seeing any kind of protection. Meanwhile, right, the other stat that they don't want to talk about, Doc, and it's a hardcore fact, and you'll never hear this talked about on mainstream, of course, is that the other 88% of that 88%, no, I could get the study, but you guys got to go look at this because it kind of blew my mind. 48% of them developed the flu. So what you're doing, you're injecting people with a flu virus that was existent the year before, but you know, and I know, Doc, that they mutilate all the time. I mean, they're constantly changing. So a virus that was in existence last year isn't the same virus that's in existence in the world today.
They mutate too.
They mutate. That was the word. Sir, that's the word I was looking for, Doc. Sometimes I get brain farts in my age. I don't know why that is, but that was the word I was looking for, and I just couldn't grab it, okay? But you knew where I was going with this.
I love you, Barry.
I love you too, Doc. You know, we've had lots of conversations, you know, and it's great that I get to converse with a doctor because I really respect what you've done in your life. The fact, like I said earlier, any man that wants to be a heart surgeon and the people that you save, like, that means that touches home with me because you save lots of lives, and that's a good thing. That's a good resume to take with you wherever you go when you pass from this world, I'll say. So, but now that you're into this research, I applaud you for that. And man, I'll tell you, if I ever won a lottery, Doc, you'd be the first guy to be getting a check from me.
Oh, well, thanks.
There you go. Get you a laboratory, get you a laboratory, get you set up again. I just had a conversation with Rick Simpson the other day, and he's making leaps and bounds in conversations with people. I'll share that with you sometime, but I don't have time today. But yeah, he's doing good things. He's doing good things. There's lots of people that are doing good things, Doc, but the pushback we're seeing now is incredible. Some of the laws coming out are just absolutely barbaric, but hopefully we wake up to it and get the people woken up. That's all I can say.
I have a couple patients that call me once a year and thank me for saving their lives. Still, it makes you feel good.
Yeah, it does. Anytime you can save people's lives, that's worth more than any money that you can ever win. You know, Doc, I've talked to you about Chaga before. I talked to you many times about it. And I experienced that now because people are using Chaga. And I've got a list of phone numbers here, and I'd like to share them with you, Doc. Maybe I'll send you these people's phone numbers, and you can talk to them because they tell me, I can't say this to people, but they tell me by simply adding Chaga to their diet, their cancer disappeared. And Chaga is known to be one of the best cancer-killing antioxidant plants on the planet today. There is a scale called the Orca scale. I believe I pronounced that correctly. But with the Orca
Chaga
scale,
is a mushroom, though.
Yeah, it's actually, you know, Doc, they classify it as a mushroom, but it grows on the side of the birch tree. It looks like a cow took a dump. Yeah, it's a fungus. It looks like a cow took a dump on the side of a birch tree. It comes in many different shapes. But it has to be, the thing about Chaga, it's critical, is that it has to be harvested in the wintertime. It has to be harvested when the birch tree is dormant because you get the concentrations of balutic and belatine acid. It is said to be one of the best immune boosting, superfoods on the planet today. It's incredible stuff. It's incredible. Doug, I've been using it for 4 years, buddy, and I swear to you, I am feeling my body is banging on all 8 cylinders at 64 years old. Everything seems to be functioning just fine. I have seen Chaga make miraculous changes in my body. And people that I'm sharing with, Doc, I was trying to get to the fact that, you know, when people walk up to you, and you this is why you're into what you're doing and what you did in your lifetime, because when people walk up to you, bud, and they give you a hug and say thanks, that's worth more than any money in the world. It's why we do, you know, that's why I'm doing this with people. I don't care. I charge very little for my product. I mean, I know what it costs me to produce the concentrate and what I'm charging. I'm not in this for money, Doc, but I know that everybody that starts using Chaga is one less person that will be going to the doctor's office a little less frequently. I mean,
I want to go with you sometime to harvest.
Well, you should bop on a plane someday, get yourself a passport, and come on up here, Doc, and we'll go pick some mushrooms, and we'll go get some Chaga. But Chaga has to be done in the winter, Doc. We do it in minus 20 degree temperature. The tree has to be minus 20 for about 15 to 20 below zero for at least 10 days before you harvest the Chaga. And then you have the optimal concentration of all the nutrients that are supposed to be in that piece of chaga. You can go on the internet, Doc, and when you get a time here, just go on YouTube and punch in chaga mushroom superfood. One report, and many reports, actually three, have classified in the top three superfoods on the planet today. So it's something
that's... Let me ask you a question, my friend.
Go ahead, bud.
Can you culture this and grow it on birch tree yourself?
No, you can't.
Under culture conditions.
No, you can't. It naturally grows, but I try to educate people that are harvesting it that when you take the chaga off the tree, it's critical that you leave about 20 to 25% of the chaga on the tree. Because if you do that, take it down to the bark, right to the root, it will regrow. And it takes about 4 years to do that. So when I'm harvesting, I'm very, very careful about that, Doc, because, you know, maybe my kids want to go out and take a piece of chaga off that tree in 5 years from now. And wow. So I'm respectful of it. But it's an incredible, incredible gift.
I have some experience with growing fungi, okay? And I think you could probably grow this under some conditions. Do you know about cordyceps?
I've heard that. I've heard it, but I'm not fully educated at all about it.
Please look that up. It's really interesting. Cordyceps, C-O-R-D-Y-C-E-P-S, is a fungus that they call the zombie fungus.
Okay.
And it's really interesting. It infects insects, apparently, and the mushroom grows out of the insect's head. And apparently, under analysis, it has adenosine in it, which is the precursor to ATP. And so it's like getting a shot of adrenaline or something with it. And it increases oxygen carrying capacity. And so athletes are using cordyceps to increase their how long they can endure strenuous exercise.
Hmm. Would make sense, wouldn't it? More oxygen going to the source of depletion would increase your endurance.
Yeah. So it's the Chinese used it for sexual reasons for many, many years. You should look it up. It's got a great history behind it. Cordyceps.
Okay, I'll put it in
the zombie fungus.
I'll put it in my bucket list here, Doc. You should do, you know, you should do a little history research on chaga, and you'll find out. And this is historical fact. Listen, you want to get a load of this, Doc? That the Chinese emperors were using chaga at about 2,500 to 3,000 years ago. Up to about 1,000 years ago, they would not share the information about this with the general public because what they found, it extended their lifespan by some of them 15, 20 years over the normal expected lifespan at that particular time in history.
Wow.
Just by ingesting chaga on a regular basis.
Man.
So the
Illuminati don't want you to know that information.
They don't want you to. If you found something, you were really, found something that was going to live you a little longer, man, what would you do? Don't give it to the peons, man. Just give them a football game to watch. Give them some beer and tell them there's nothing to see over here.
Right. Yeah, complain about somebody kneeling as an insult. Kneeling is an insult. How's kneeling ever been insulting?
Hey, well, that's not politically correct, Doc. You're going to hurt somebody's feelings, Doc. Come on, man. You don't want to hurt their feelings.
But seriously, when has kneeling ever been an insult to anybody?
Well, it is these days, apparently. Okay, so.
Yeah. So it's crazy how the propaganda.
Word jargons.
Something like that into something that's divisive, and people can't seem to think their way through this.
Mm.
That kneeling is, someone says, kneeling, that's offensive. Oh, yeah, they're kneeling. Did you see them? They're kneeling.
Call the police.
I don't get it.
You hurt my feelings, man. I'm going to take you to court, Doc. That's it. No, I know. It's gotten right out of hand. It has. It's gotten. We don't really have time to get into what's going on this planet right now, buddy, but it's kind of like everything's totally upside down. And we could talk about everything going on. I mean, look what's going on. Well, look what's going on right now with weather, man. That alone has got to get people's attention. Then you got to look at what's going on with earthquake activity right now, unheralded right now, activity going on, and deep, deep earthquakes that are really going to start to rock the old plates. The earth is right now is just rocking and rolling. And then we got storms forming in the Atlantic. This one that just hit Florence. We got other ones forming behind it. I'm looking at forecasts and they're telling us it's going to be like incredible. Some of these storms, and they're just getting worse and worse and worse and worse all the time. Typhoons of unheard of power, man. And it's just escalating. Where are we going with that one, Doc? What do you think? Where's it all coming from? What's going on? Tell me. Somebody help me.
Clem, you're making not making the doctor unhappy happy.
Well, you know, there's an old saying, Doc. I think, you know, I mean, it might be part of it, might be all of it. But if you keep pooping in your backyard and you keep treating the earth like she's a pile of dung and you just don't give a damn about her, eventually she, in her own ways, is going to start striking back. Whether that's being played out right now, buddy, I don't know. But I'm watching things unfold on this planet that just absolutely bogged my mind. I mean, what's going on just in Florida alone, southern Florida, the unbelievable die-offs of fish, man, by the millions. And these reports aren't bull. I'm vetting these reports. Every time I hear about mass extinction events, I make sure that I vet it and make sure I go right back to the source and make sure it's correct. And it astounds me. Yet the normal person is going, there's nothing going on, nothing to worry about. Boy, I'll tell you, you know, we're kind of in crazy times, but you know what? When I look at everything that can be done with cannabis, Doc, it gives me hope. It really does. If we could get the public educated on the industrial, just the industrial use and the incredible properties of the plant to detoxify soil, to build our buildings, everything in society could turn up. It could turn it all. You know, our fuel, everything, Doc. Everything I ever talk about with the industrial is a no brainer. Go ahead, Buck. Sorry, I get ranting about it.
Most importantly. It's a metabolic requirement.
That's number one. I agree.
That's a really important term.
Essential.
To understand.
Essential for the human body.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah,
it
you know
be
what?
A dietary essential, yes.
Yeah. You know, when I look at it, Doug, I mean, I look at the medical applications and what it does for a body, but then I really spend a lot of time looking what the plant can do as an industrial use, as multiple uses, and it just absolutely astounds me. I look at everything that's going on the planet right now, and I see a very small window of opportunity for the human race to start embracing this plant, okay, period, because everything about it would benefit us. It has the answers to, you know, 90% of our problems. And I, you know, that sounds crazy, Doc, and I, you know, Rick Simpson said that to me once, and honestly, buddy, I kind of chuckled to myself. But then I spent the last 4 or 5 years of my life looking into it, and he never made a more true statement in my life, and I'm never making a more true statement that we need to really embrace this because it can stop so many things. The medical is huge, but the industrial is just as big in my world, Doc, because what it can do to our biosphere, to our planet, the detoxifying effects of industrial I mean, I could share studies I've looked at, Doc, about the detoxifying effects of industrial hemp and how the root system works and how it gets deep into the soil, how it releases microorganisms that are never released during normal plant growth. And if you grow another plant on top of that after you're finished with the industrial hemp, the amount of nutrients. So I've looked at all these studies and I go, this is just mind boggling. We got to educate the public. Go ahead, bud. That's my rant.
Ditto.
For the day. That was my rant for the day. Okay, buddy.
I totally agree. All right. Well, it's been interesting talking to you today. This war is changing, and we got to get the word out that cannabis should be in your diet. If you eat cannabis raw, it doesn't get you high. If you don't heat it and just eat it, it doesn't get you high. If you cook it in a brownie or cookie or something like that, it will get you high. But if it's not heated, it doesn't get you high, and it offers great medical protection. So we could probably cure the we could destroy the diabetic industry by putting cannabis in your diet. If you give it to your children, it'll protect them from ADHD. They'll study and they'll pay attention in class. They will eat all their food. And if you feed it to your grandma, it'll prevent her from having diabetes. It'll protect her heart from heart attack and protect her brain from stroke.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. Hey, one of the things I got to say about a doc is it helped the lady I know in this community get off psychotropic drugs, that she stopped taking them, and we gave her pretty good. She was able to actually stay home and sit on the couch for about 3 weeks, and we gave her high doses of very, very good oil. And she attributed that to being able to get away from the psychotropics that she's been on for 3 years. So just another story.
That's awesome, Barry. Thank you.
I have a very good friend, a personal friend of mine, developed throat cancer in Prince Rupert, British Columbia, and we gave him high-grade oil. He injected it down his throat for 3 weeks. His cancer went away, my friend. I have seen it
with
many, many people in my community. But it's a miraculous plant. And like I said, it can solve so many of our problems, Doc. But we got to embrace it, man. We really do. People got to be educated. Industrial hemp, really, it has, like I said, it has so many answers to the problems we're having right now. We see the projections on crop reductions. We see the amount of contamination in our biosphere. The fact that glyphosate is showing up all over the world. We have all these problems that are attacking our health, and it can all be turned around. We have to turn it around, Doc. You know, where are we going, buddy? Not a pleasant looking future in my world. Anyways, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
We got about 4 minutes left. Go ahead, Doc.
Okay, real quick. Did you see my post on Facebook? A friend of mine, his name's Lucky, was a grower. He had a whole bunch of pot left over from last year. It had been stored in containers in the barn for over a year and didn't really smell that good, but still had a lot of THC on it.
Mm-hmm.
So he donated. I packed my trunk full of it, brought it down here, put it in bags, and went around and gave it to the homeless. And there's video. I went to this homeless camp, and there's video of like this horde of people hauling down this hill to try to get bags of pot that were given out for free. It was unbelievable.
Oh man, what? Yeah, you already shared that with me, Doc. But wow.
Well, look on my Facebook. It's on my Facebook. Okay.
Okay, we're going to give people a real good insight where they can go see that. What's your Facebook's under?
David Allen. David Allen is my name, and it's not Allen MD or anything. It's just David Allen, and I'm on your friends list.
I know you are. I know you are, sir.
So all you have to do is just hit that, and it will send you to me. So anybody that's friends with you, they could connect with me by looking on your friends list.
Well, I think you'll have a few more views on that video, what we just talked about, Doc. So
look at, you know, it was Doc, really funny.
You know, I could just imagine. And you made a lot of people's days, buddy. I'm telling you. What a thing to do. That inspires the human heart, doesn't it? What a great idea.
Well, anyways, more people should do that.
Yeah. It's like I see videos of people going out and buying, even though I don't like Big Macs, man. I see people going out and buying 200 and going around and distributing them to people on the street. And they're, again, just an example of what we need more in our society, Doc, because we are all humans, and some of us are hurting and some of us are well off. And money should be spread around and shared and not greed and hoarded to people. It's nice to see people do that kind of stuff, man. It really is. It brings a smile to my day. Yeah, so
well,
Doc,
my friend did it.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go have a look at that vid when we get off the air here, Doc, and hopefully sometime in the near future we can do this again. We're down to the last couple of minutes. I'm going to let you share a couple last thoughts, and then we're going to close the show for the week.
Well, my last thought would be put cannabis in your diet, eat it raw. Less than a joint worth of marijuana in your dinner will change your bowel habits completely and prevent you from having colon cancer. It's a proven fact that lack of cannabinoid receptors in the colon is directly related to colon cancer, and that you can cause colon cancer in rats by blocking the CB1 receptors.
Wow. So you're telling me, Doc, one equivalent of one joint of fresh cannabis in your salad at night is going to do this to your body? Pretty incredible.
Yes.
But I was aware of the fact that it is a superfood when ingested. We don't have time to talk about that today, but I want to thank you, Doc, for joining me. I really enjoy talking with you, and we're going to do this again in the near future, I hope. Thanks for taking your time today, Doc, and sharing your information. Okay, guys. Today, guys, been a great show. I really enjoyed the first hour getting into some conversations with my two guests, and second hour, this kind of a conversation really gets my heart going and fills me with hope. It really does, that, you know, people will embrace this and maybe look at some of the things we've talked about today and see if it really makes sense to you, because really, To me, when you really start researching everything about this plant, all aspects of it, I have not yet seen anything that's not a no-brainer in my world. I hope you take some time and look into it yourself, and I think you'll share the same opinion. So thanks to PIR for allowing me this opportunity to talk today. I want to say thanks to Steve for producing my shows and for you guys tuning in. And I want to say thanks again to Dr. Allen for coming in today and sharing his wisdom. You guys have a great week, and I will be back again next week, same time, same place. Have a great week, and God bless y'all.